Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Santa Claus is coming to town. 720 WGN, Bill and Wendy out today. It is myself, John Hansen, and Judy Pilek. I am just so honored to sit next to you and chat with, and I'm being completely serious, Judy.
Come on.
I'm being
completely, don't be ridiculous.
You are Queen
honored.
Judy.
Honored.
And I get to, normally I get to co-host
Did
with.
Did you say honored?
Honored as can be to host with Judy Pilek, who actually hired me at WGN.
I know, right? I was so excited when I heard I was going to work with you because,
yeah.
As you know, I did hire you, so I consider myself above you.
I think everyone else out there considers you above me too, Judy.
I think I consider myself above everyone is what you meant to say, yes. Yeah, right? Well, how many years ago was that?
That wasn't too long. I think it was maybe 2013. I did some news here for a little while.
You didn't last very long because, no. And I knew you would, no, and this is a compliment, I knew you wouldn't because you were good.
Oh, that's sweet of you to say.
Whenever I would train people, I'd be like, darn it.
It's because you trained us so well, Judy.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'll accept that.
So we have a fun show today, Judy.
Do we really?
Yes. We've lined up a lot of great guests. We'll be talking about spiritual advisors and spirits in the Christmas season. And not just in like the Christmas carol sense. We're not talking about the ghost of past, present, or future.
But
coming.
Maybe. It could, yeah.
But we have an expert coming in. And this will be fun because, Judy, you are all in on this stuff.
I am. Why not? Why wouldn't you be? Spiritual is always good.
I just can't do it. I'll bring myself to the point where I think I might, and then I don't want to say common sense.
You don't talk to dead people?
No, I don't. Not regularly.
I do,
not on the regular.
Once in a while.
But
yeah.
We're going to talk about how the holidays, how this is a very prominent thing in people's lives. Is it a matter that we're opening our minds more and we want to talk to those that are gone?
Because it's the holidays and you miss them?
Right. Or maybe. Are they trying to talk
are
to
they
us?
More prevalent? Yes. Right. They're always there, John. I hate to tell you. Right now, someone's standing behind
Who
you.
Who is it?
I don't know. Your guardian angel?
I have a guardian angel?
Everyone does.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, we're being serious. You actually think everyone has?
Yeah, I do think so, yes.
Is it someone I knew in the past, or
maybe.
Could it be anyone?
Could be anyone.
Really?
Could be someone you need, someone you've conjured up that you don't even really consciously know about.
So it doesn't have to be an actual person that has passed?
No, I don't think so. Okay. You know, this would be a good question to ask our
guests. Yeah, we should save it for the expert.
I don't know the specifics. I'm just a believer.
Right. You're not an expert. You don't have a PhD in this.
I don't need to know all the details, okay?
312-981-7200. I want to hear from our listeners because most people I talk to, I think, I don't know what the percentages are, but I think most people, and you mentioned that with age, maybe it's a little bit with age. I didn't mean to say it like
right,
that,
no,
Judy.
But as
but
you get
yes.
older, I think you just, right. you get smarter, certainly, and maybe more open, I hope.
Because my mom is big into this stuff. Every time she sees a cardinal, that's grandma.
Oh my gosh.
Every time she sees a sparrow.
Why is it always a bird?
I don't know. What about the squirrels? We got squirrels and chipmunks
no,
in the back.
No, if I see a squirrel, right. No.
I think our possum is one of my past uncles.
Come on.
I think that's who it is. The possum is the uncle. The cardinal
but no,
is grandma.
But the bird, it's a bird,
it's a thing
with people. Yes. I don't go that far. Mm-hmm. I have never felt that. But some people, you know.
Some people do.
At the moment of whatever, at the funeral, they see a bird and it appears to them over and over again. Well, okay. I think that's what it's about too, the signs.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to open your eyes to see the signs.
I'm willing to open my eyes.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's that we have a bird bath in the back. In fact, I think I got it for her, and I think that's why grandma keeps on coming.
Stop being so rational.
312-91-7200, talk or text. We'd love to hear. Do you get more spiritual at the holiday time of year? Or are you always spiritual? Or do you start to see things? Are your relatives from the past that maybe have passed coming to say hello for the holidays? I'm really fascinated about that. So we're going to talk with an expert in just a little bit about that. At 10:30, I'm really excited to talk with the folks from Deborah's Place. And they are a center, a facility of multiple buildings across the city. But they their main goal is to find homeless women in Chicago and make them eventually help them transition to lives of living on their own, which of course is everyone's goal, to have a place of their own. And they've done it for 30 years, over 4,000 women that they've done. And I know this is near and dear to you, Judy, because
yes,
you work with another organization
absolutely.
That does this
I've
stuff.
Absolutely. I've worked for some years now with Poise for Success, which it's funny because, and that whole transition piece is so important. It's not like just getting them a bed for the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking them from step A to step Z.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole package. And then when they get there, when they do have the housing, then, okay, now it's time to get a job.
Yeah.
And how do you get a job when you really don't have the resources or even something as simple as the clothes to go on an interview. So that's where Poise for Success comes in, and they dress these women from head to toe, give them outfits so they can at least get the first, you know, head start on a new job and a new life, hopefully. Yeah.
And you mentioned A to Z. That's absolutely right. When we talk to these people at Deborah's Place, I'm sure they'll mention this, the climb up the ladder that people have to do, and sometimes you fall down a step or two, but really making sure that we get people as far as we can up that ladder to independence.
So important. All those resources.
So I'm excited to talk to them, and then Dean. Dean, of course.
Dean, I can't wait to talk to Dean.
I'm like star-studded today this morning because I have been a WGN listener my entire life. It's always been in the car. My dad, obviously, a big listener, of course. My mom listens too. So to be able to co-host with you, to get to talk to Steve Cochran, and then Dean, I mean, my day is
just made. Wow, it is your lucky day, isn't it?
It's a real big day. Normally, it's in the middle of the night that I'm here.
Yeah, you know what kind of day this is for me? A work day.
But that's what a wonderful life.
It is a wonderful life. I love doing shows.
Title.
Yeah, it's great.
And then I want to hear more about your kids that are home for the holidays.
Do you really?
Because you teased me a little bit about this.
I do. And you know what? We have a new addition to our family, too.
What? Really?
A little puppy.
Oh,
did
that's
you think I was
right.
going to say baby?
I didn't know. I thought that you had hid something from me or something.
No, that's not happening ever again.
Okay. So we will talk about all that stuff and plenty more coming up on WGN. But again, 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear you. More of the Judy and John Show coming up here on 720. In for Bill and Wendy, WGN. Oh, Jazzy, we're getting a little spiritual here as we start this next segment. I like this. Happy, what day of the week? Is it Thursday? Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
Friday, Junior.
Like
it does.
Friday.
I have tomorrow off the morning show, too, so I'm super, super excited. 720 WGN, Bill and Wendy off today. It is myself, John Hanson, and the one, the only, Queen Judy Pilak.
We call it the John and Judy Show.
The Judy and John Show.
All right.
I will not put my name before
you.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely your show. By the way, we opened up the questioning about the spiritualness, and we got a text from the 309. My mother, this is from the texter, died at home, which apologies for that, but within a day, a white dove appeared in the tree outside the sliding door in the backyard and stayed for a few days.
Now see,
and I assume that means that maybe this person hadn't seen doves before in the past, and then there was a dove.
Right, or maybe it was a dove representing her mother, and she just wanted to say a little bit of an extra goodbye.
Yeah.
In any case, what's the harm?
No, you're right. And I paint myself as a skeptic, but it is in no way a judgmental one, because everyone has their own things.
You choose not to believe. I choose to believe.
Maybe I'll be convinced.
I think Mary's going to convince you.
Yeah, we got Mary Shetliff. She is the spiritual advisor and author of The Realm of Spirit, The Connected Being. And right now we got Mary on the line. Mary, can you hear us? How you doing? Welcome to WGN.
I can hear you perfectly. Thank you for inviting me.
Well,
I love your story about the dove.
Well, right. And that's what I want to get listeners involved here, is because I think people are around this time of year. And I guess you could answer this, Mary. Is this a time of year where spirits or whoever might be talking to us, are they chirping extra loud now a time this year?
Well, actually, I think they talk to us all year long. It's just that this time of year, we hear them louder.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're more in our heart spirit. And so when we become in our heart spirit, out of our head, into our heart, we're more aware of what's going on around us.
And Mary, how do you do that, though?
Aware,
how do you become more aware? How do you open yourself up to it?
Actually, through meditation, through even simple walking in the morning, just walking down a quiet street or walking somewhere quiet where you're just listening to nature. Being out in nature helps to open that up more. We process our world, our earthly world, and our heavenly world through our senses, through smell, sight, sound, taste, and feeling and knowing. And so there's that internal feeling that we know when something's right or when it's off. And that part of who we are in our heart helps us able to look for the signs from heaven that try to talk to us. And whenever we are in a weakened state, such as grief or even illness, we pray more. We actually pray more. We need to pray more when we are healthy, when we are feeling alive, when we're feeling grateful. Say you get a raise at work, or gosh, you get good news about your daughter or your son or somebody. It goes into that place of gratitude in our heart. And it's when we start feeling grateful and generous is when I believe that spirit comes in stronger. It's always there. We just tend to become so busy that we don't look at it. We don't think about it. We don't pay attention to the signs from heaven. And that's what my book, Realm of Spirit's about, is to start slowing down and watching for the signs from heaven.
I got a question.
And when they might be coming into our lives.
Yeah. So, Mary, I think you might have heard that I'm more of a skeptic on this. But again, it's not a judgmental one. I'm not saying that I can't be convinced, or maybe as I grow a little older and gain more experience that I'll start to see this. So my question is if I leave, as I leave WGN today, my goal should not be just to walk out the door and open my eyes and look for every little sign that might be out there and start assigning it a person or a thing or a representation. Is it more just opening yourself up generally, and then is it listening to your gut? Like, how would I start to listen?
Right. You described it perfectly. You start paying attention to your gut. You start paying attention as you're driving down the street and you hear this little voice in your head say, hey, go right today. And then the other intellectual part of your head says, yeah, but it's going to take me longer. You know, let that intuition kind of take you in that direction for a minute. Play the game. You know, play the game and go that way. And maybe nothing will happen. And you'll think, well, that was silly and stupid. But while you're on that journey, what did you see differently that day instead of going the regular route and the regular rut that you just went every day?
So it's a little looking back and seeing what changes I made as a result of what I might have seen or not seen.
Right, right. And sometimes you might see maybe just even an elderly couple walking along holding hands. And you see or feel that spirit of their love over that many years. Or you may see a child playing with a ball on a street, and you can go back to that innocent part of who you were and really just appreciate that vision for a minute. And it's about appreciation and being grateful for that moment in time that you're in. And in our society today, we just get so busy, myself included, that, you know, we're so busy just focused on getting there that we miss the path that's taking us there. I just built a labyrinth in my backyard. And
how does one build a labyrinth in the backyard? What does that entail?
Yes.
Do you go to Home Depot for some of that stuff?
I built a patio, but I don't think we're on the same level there.
Yeah,
Mary.
What is a labyrinth?
A labyrinth. Do you know what a labyrinth is?
I've seen Pan's Labyrinth.
Well, you walk through in and out, try to get in.
Yeah, a labyrinth is actually a path, and it's one way in and one way out. And so when you walk in the labyrinth, you are basically paying attention to the ground and the rocks. And again, it's always outside. So you're in nature. And so you're focused on this path. And I tell people, as you're walking in, just focus on some of the things that you really are feeling uncomfortable about in your life, or sad, or whatever. I just went through a journey with breast cancer. And that's why I actually built the labyrinth, was because of my belief system. I knew I could not go a traditional medicine way. And so I built my labyrinth and asked for answers. And so as I walked in, I really focused on answers. And then when you get to the middle of the labyrinth, you are in God, so to speak. You're in the God center of the labyrinth. And so you sit in the labyrinth and you meditate. And you meditate for answers or insights or, you know, solutions. And then as you come out, it's almost like, you've dumped stuff going in, so then you sit in the middle, you ask for new answers. So then as you're coming out, it's almost like you feel energized, like you're very clear, very focused. But what that is it gives you time to walk, and it gives you time to think, and it gives you time to just kind of get rid of all the garbage that's blocking in your head and your heart, and you come up with true answers. And as I was in the circle, you know, I came up, I walked it every day for months. I am saying months to get the answer. I wouldn't do any kind of treatment until I had my clear answers. And I finally got the clear answers. I went in, had the treatment, had what I needed to do, and that worked for me, told the doctors, and they bucked me for a little while, but then they realized that it just was my core belief. And the last time I went to the doctor, my blood tests were fabulous. Everything was amazing. And the doctor just looked at me, shook his head, and said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it.
I think some people would call that like personal therapy. It's therapy is what it is.
Yes, that core belief inside of me knew what I had to do, and the outside chatter was the thing that was bringing the anxiety in and the and all of that garbage in. And so I just listened. I asked for my angels to come and talk to me. I asked for God to come talk to me.
Hey,
and I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but neither do you. And so each day I walk in spirit being grateful.
I have the day off tomorrow. I know that much. I know I'm going to be sleeping. No, but no, I know exactly what you're saying. Judy said that I might have a spirit angel. Or
I said everyone has a guardian angel, don't they?
Everybody does.
You just have to.
We're all born.
Yeah.
I think we're all born with an angel that's sent to earth to guide us and take care of us. And I don't know where people's beliefs are in past lives or whatever, but I think this angel is with us an eternity. I don't think it's just this life, but it could be past lives and future lives, and just even if we're just wherever we are, that entity, that angel, that spirit is always with us.
And John
and
wanted
know
to know
them.
If it was someone. Oh, we know
there.
Them. He wanted to
wait. Really,
know that.
We know them.
I didn't think we would.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, is it someone that's passed, or is it just we just know them internally? If we stop to think and open.
Yeah, it's this is an angel that is. It's not of a. It's never been of a physical realm. It's an angel. It's a spirit that comes with us on Earth. Now, there's also spirit guides, which can be like relatives or teachers or people that come into our lives to be with us.
Well, I believe that
when we
for
need
sure.
them,
yes.
right?
Exactly our assignment.
Yeah. Mary, we're talking to Mary Shurtleff, the author of The Realm of Spirit, The Connected Being. One thing that you mentioned, and being has a dash in there. One thing I wanted to ask you is, you mentioned like if you see a kid on the street playing with a ball or you see an elderly couple holding hands. For someone like me, I would say that's a coincidence. But I do, when I see something like that happen, I do, it makes my heart warm. It makes me feel good about it. Is that at least for let's say, because you've made a lot of connotations towards religion and heaven and angels. Let's say there's someone out there that maybe isn't super religious. Can someone still open their hearts and minds to those moments and find, you know, the spiritual side of themselves without necessarily bringing God or angels into that equation?
You know, those words are just semantics. You know, God, angels, Yoda, universe, the spirit, you know, whatever you want to call it, it's a feeling. It's a feeling in your heart. It has nothing to do with a religion. A religion is only something of
it makes it more tangible for some
mass
people.
Mass belief. You know, it's got to just be something that you feel. It's a spirituality in your heart that you feel. And I feel the rest is all just semantics. I tell people if God doesn't work for you, if the word angel doesn't work for you, you know, find the word that does, whatever it is. My son-in-law is probably the kindest person in the world. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't believe in God. But, man, you get him in nature, and he is at one, and he is at peace.
So it's about finding
so
what you need to.
You know, nature is your God. Nature is your spirit.
Yeah. Hey, Mary, I wish we had more time.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Find what works for you. And, Mary, I wish we had more time
find
to chat about this.
You.
Exactly. You can visit Mary on her website at Mary Shurtleff. That's shurtleff.com or follow her on Twitter at the same name. Mary, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Do you believe yet, John?
When you talked about the elderly couple and the ball on the street, I definitely am more open than I think I realize. I think it's a matter
he
of me.
It.
He'll be a believer by the end of the show.
Yeah, I was going to say
worry.
By noon she will. So
yeah.
Thank you so much, Mary. Thanks for your
thanks,
time.
Thanks, Mary.
Your heart.
I will listen. I'm going to do a little bit more listening. All right, more of Judy and John show on 720 WGN. WGN 720 WGN, Bill and Wendy out today. It's Judy Pilak. Hi, Judy.
Hello, John Hanson.
We're having fun. We never co-hosted together. This is great.
I know.
I'm really excited.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Don't mess up, John.
I won't. 312-981-7200. Before we get to Deborah's place really quickly, we've gotten some great texts that are coming in about spirits and are there spiritual guides, signs you've received perhaps from people that have passed. And Judy, we want to do a little competition, right? Because
yes,
you have a little prize we're going to give away.
The best story. Keep it short and sweet.
Right, they're all good ones,
yes,
of course.
Of course they are. But for the ones that, how will we? We'll just
the one
know.
That really touches
the
us
one,
the most,
right? The ones that make the hair on our arms go up, mm-hmm. like ooh,
yeah.
That person's going to get a $100 gift card to Lobster Graham. That's the original lobster delivery company and the perfect holiday gift.
That is perfect.
Yes.
Show us your spirits, and we'll give you some lobster.
Yeah, exactly.
Send you something from the sea.
Don't make it up, because we'll know.
We'll know immediately. Oh, yeah. Right, exactly.
Well, I will. Believer. The non-believer might believe it, but not me.
All right, so next up we have from Deborah's Place, which is an amazing organization. We've got Michelle Patterson, the development director of Deborah's Place, and Gloria Wilson, who's been through Deborah's Place and doing great things as well. Guys, welcome to the program. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
It's wonderful to have you here. We're going to start with Michelle, because I could try and explain what Deborah's Place is, but I think you'll do a much better job. So for people that don't know, who is Deborah's Place? What do you guys do?
Sure. We are a over 30-year-old nonprofit organization that provides permanent supportive housing and services to women who are homeless in Chicago. Our mission is to open doors of opportunity for women, and we feel that we do an excellent job at that. Something that we take a lot of pride in is not just that we provide the housing and the services, but that we provide a community in which women feel that they can belong and feel safe and achieve their goals.
It's about transition. It's not a shelter where you just house someone for a couple days and, I don't get them back on their feet or give them a place to be warm for a couple days. It's much more than that.
Yes. I think what distinguishes us from a lot of other organizations is, first of all, that we serve unaccompanied women. We found that this is a population that is underserved, and our founding mothers, who came together in 1985, wanted to address the issue of homelessness for single women. And there weren't a lot of options at that time. There were places that would accept families. There were a lot of co-ed shelters, but not a lot of places where women felt safe to be on their own. And that's the gap that Deborah's Place filled.
Is that a big population, homeless single women?
It is. Actually, one in four people who are homeless in this country are unaccompanied women.
Wow. That's a bigger number than I think that I would have thought to see.
Yes. And it's a very vulnerable population, you know, facing challenges on the street and the kinds of situations that a single woman would have gone through that would lead her to become homeless is different than other people.
It's a great organization. We've gotten to partner with some things on media the last couple of weeks or so. But I want to talk to Gloria. Gloria, thank you so much for coming on WGN.
Thank
you got the headphones on. You're rocking them today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me, John.
Of course. I think it's so important to hear the stories from women like you to help inspire a lot of us to help out wherever we can. So, Gloria, why don't you walk us through a little bit about your story, where you come from, and the trials and tribulation you fought.
Well, I started out on the south side of Chicago, whereas now I'm on the west side. But I had a job, and I lost my job, but that's when I became homeless. And things started looking down. My landlady, she was marvelous. She kept me there as long as she could. And so I had to give up my apartment because she had to get someone in there that was paying rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I was at a shelter. It was like it was a church that they used to feed all the time. And so I was down in there wondering where I'm going to go tonight. Well, I knew what I was going to eat because they fed us. But after I ate, where was I going from there? I had no idea. And so I sat there and I cried. And while everybody else was eating and leaving, I stayed because I had nowhere to go. And so the pastor of the church, him and his daughter noticed that I was the last one there and really had no intention on moving because I didn't have nowhere to go. So when they came over and talked to me, I just started crying and let them know that I was homeless. And if I left there, I was going to go outside and I'd be sleeping on the street. And so they took me to what they call a detox center.
Mm-hmm.
I went there and I detoxed because I was doing drugs at the time also. I don't want to leave that important mm-hmm. part out.
Well, it's important to be honest to tell these real stories because there's a lot of women facing these issues.
Right, because it wasn't like I just had a job and lost it and the landlord let me stay a little bit. I was doing drugs also. So that was a part of the downfall on me losing my place. And so he took me to detox. They took me to a detox center and they kept me there for 3 days. And since I didn't have a place to stay and I didn't know nobody where I can go and live with, and they took me to a women's treatment center where I had to stay 30 days there, and they treated my alcoholism and let me know that I didn't have to leave until I had some place to go to. Mm-hmm. They wasn't going to put me out on the street.
That's wonderful.
And I was grateful about that. And so they found Deborah's place. And that's how I became affiliated with Deborah's Place. And that was like in 97.
Oh, and look at you, looking all fabulous.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you go to Deborah's Place. And Michelle, maybe just really quickly jump in. Is this how a lot of the women come to Deborah's Place, through some of partner outreach organizations?
Yes. I think a lot of women have been through shelters before, which, you know, people think that you can just go to a shelter and that that's a safe and good place. And that's not actually how it works. And I don't want to get into all the details of that. But a lot of women, you know, don't have anywhere else to go. And what's really great is that our reputation is so strong in the community that when women get to the point where they need housing, we really try to make that available. Now, when Gloria came to us, we still had a system in which every single organization had its own waiting list. That's no longer the case. The city of Chicago manages a central waiting list, and as apartments become available, we're able to fill those from the list.
Now, what happens until the apartment becomes available?
A lot of people still live in shelters or on the street, and they check in with a case manager or somebody at the shelter and you know, hope that their name moves to the top of the list.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. I want to hear a little bit more about how we can all help Deborah's Place. And Gloria, I want to hear about how you're doing now. You said that was 1997. We got, what, 20 years to fill in the gaps to figure out. We don't have to tell all 20 years now. We're limited time here on the radio. But a quick break here on 720 WGN. I was taking notes there, Judy. You are a pro.
Ooh, that was a mouthful.
You did so well, Judy. Can I get a high five on that one?
Sure.
There we go.
I'm trying not to read like a news person and more like a show person.
Right.
How'd I do?
Very showy.
All right.
That was such a such
a
showy moment.
Be a show off, but whatever.
720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are off today. It's Judy Pilak, Queen Judy, and myself, John, filling in today. We'll talk with Deborah's Place a little bit more. We got Michelle and Gloria here. I just want to say we've gotten some amazing texts about spirituality, and we're going to table that just for a few more minutes. We're going to talk about spirituality because we've also got some incredible calls coming in. Aaliyah, you need to stay on the line, and I'll let her reveal the story of what she has, but it's an incredible one, and Janae as well, and we got plenty of other callers. I do want to go to one caller really quickly, and that is Tim. Tim, you're on 720 WGN. I believe you have a message for the ladies here.
Hi. Yeah, my fiance every year goes to a Deborah's Place party, and this year they just did theirs, and she just came back and was telling me about how great it is. And I said, you know what? I would love to try and organize a fundraiser with my band because we do a lot of charity work and fundraising work. And is that something you guys would be interested in?
Michelle.
It is certainly something we'd be interested in. And I would be happy to talk to you. My name and number and email are on our website on the contact page.
And maybe, Jazzy, you could get some contact information. So, Tim, stay on the line. That's so generous and thoughtful.
Yes, Tim. Happy holidays.
Round of applause for Tim. We're making
connections.
Are you
Santa?
You guys have a great, great holiday, and I'll give her my information.
Hey, what's the name of your band? Let's at least give them a plug. Come on.
It's Uptown Shakedown, and we're a Motown cover band.
All right. Ooh. That sounds really fun.
I'll be there at that fundraiser.
So, Tim, don't go away, okay? Jazz is going to get you, all right? Get the information. All right, we're just going to get the information. We're going to look at that. We're making connections. We're teaming up with people.
Very exciting.
Is that what it's about, Michelle?
That really
making
is.
Making connections and resources and just everyone doing their part.
Yes, that is exactly what we're always looking for. You know, Gloria and I were talking before we came in here about how easy it is for us to come and talk to people about Deborah's Place, because we really believe in what we do in this organization, and we need community partners in order to continue this work.
Gloria, so we left off 1997, you entered Deborah's Place, I believe is what you'd said.
Yes, and that was when my journey started. The healing began because I was at home. I didn't realize it at first, but I was at home. And I treated it as such. And like I said, once I got there, we were never on the street again. I mean, some shelters, they let them out in the morning, and they are just out on the street. But at Deborah's Place, we had an off-site called Irene's, and we would go there, and that was our daytime shelter. Mm-hmm. So we were never on the street. When we were let out of the shelter in the morning, we can leave from the shelter, go to Irene's. When Irene's closed, we go back to the shelter. So there never was a time that we were on the street anymore after when I became unhomeless.
I imagine that just makes you feel like a person. It gives you the sense that homelessness is not, you are not just a homeless person. That's an experience. It's part of life.
And you know another thing, John, when I got with Deborah's Place, I pride myself on the way that I look. And when I came out of there, I used to look at people. They wonder, how do a homeless person look? How do they look? And I look at them, do I look like I'm homeless?
Mm-hmm.
But I was.
Yeah.
Because I was still in the shelter. But you couldn't tell, not by looking at me, because they took care of us in such a way. A lot of the donations that came in were for us. Most of my clothes were donated clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were. The people that would donate will ask what our sizes are. They didn't just send anything.
Well, they didn't just throw you a bag of stuff and say,
right.
Figure it out.
Uh-huh.
Made you feel like a real, I mean, that's like we all go shopping. We like to have things that fit and feel good.
It felt great.
A human being and you still deserve what everyone else has.
Yes.
So 20 years later.
Well, what are you doing now?
20 years later, I graduated from phlebotomy at Malcolm X last year.
Woo!
And my the case manager system is so awesome. They're so awesome. I talk with my case manager, and I keep her. She's like my own little personal counselor, because I keep her updated on the things that I'm doing. And so far, so good. I got check marks by what I'm doing, because I went to school for phlebotomy. I graduated in December, and now I'm still actively looking for a job. As of yesterday, they had a job fair at Malcolm X, and I went and I attended that, and I got some good information. And I filled out some more applications online for various hospitals, and things are really going good. And I talked with my case manager, she helped me to make copies of my resume and my diploma and my certificate, so I could pass them out at the job fair, which was great because they were asking for for your resume.
Well, I don't know anything about phlebotomy, but if any callers want to call in, if you know a job in that field,
that's right.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're doing it, and I'm not doing it. That's all I got to say. That Gloria, I think you're a walking, breathing representation of when you see people on the street, and your heart feels like, man, even if I give them a smile or a dollar, this ain't going anywhere. Are they stuck like this forever? No, we can help people.
Yeah.
To make their lives as full as they could be.
But Michelle, tell us, what can people do right now, today? What can they do for you?
Well, right now we're doing our year-end appeal. And if you go to our website, deborahsplace.org, you can see right on the front page Gloria's beautiful picture and her story. And you click there and you can make a donation really easily. As Gloria mentioned, we do help women, particularly the women who have no income, to meet their basic needs. We no longer accept clothing donations, but we do accept donations of toiletries, cleaning supplies, non-perishable food items. So there's sections about that on the website as well. And we also have a lot of volunteer opportunities. So if people are interested in getting more involved, please reach out to us. We have opportunities for individuals and groups of all different kinds of things.
Michelle, Gloria, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you guys stopping on by.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
And all to all of our listeners, it's the season.
Yeah, it really is. Now should be the time. Yep. And then also the whole rest of the year, too, if
Absolutely.
You can. But certainly right now. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More Judy and John on 720 WGN coming up after this.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling, too. Come on, it's lovely.
Take it away, Judy. Come on, here we go.
You're the magical whatever it's called.
Singer.
Oh. No, I can't sing.
But you like the singing.
I do.
Sleigh ride together with you. Judy, it'd be great to go on a sleigh ride, but we're still here for another hour. Then we go to the stream for another hour after that.
Woo-hoo, yeah, for another ride.
That'll be... Why did you just wink at me? That was really creepy, Judy. Judy Pilak.
I don't think I winked at you. I think you're imagining
I'm seeing things. Judy Pilak and John Hansen here filling in for Bill and Wendy. Okay, we started the show talking about spirits and spirit guides and how we're all very hyped up at the holiday season. I'm a skeptic. Judy is deep in the pool.
Oh, yeah.
All the way in.
Because it's true.
I guess I'm now my...
It's spirituality, by the way.
I'm dipping my toe in the pool now.
Yes.
Okay?
You can't deny the thing. You haven't noticed things in your life or things haven't happen for a reason.
There are definitely moments where I go, ooh, this is challenging my thoughts. But then the scientific mind of mine, which is very limited, but the right side of my brain goes, no, that is a...
Right.
The you bird need to, needed you, a cracker or something or whatever it
you
is.
You need to leave that side of your mind open.
Mm-hmm.
Just open. Just, you know, just let it come and see what happens.
We've had... we've had a lot of people on the line with and some amazing texts, and keep them coming. 312-981-7200. We don't want to say the best one, but the one that makes us go, oh, the most. Judy, what are they going to get? They're going to get a cool prize,
they are
right?
going to get, wow. That, you know what? They're going to go like this now.
Yeah.
It's a $100 gift card to Lobster Graham. That's the original lobster delivery company and the perfect holiday gift.
Mm-hmm. That is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I kind of want that myself.
Right. Well, then tell me a good story and you'll get it. Let's go to Leah. Leah, you have a fascinating story from what I've seen on the screen. Leah, thanks for holding for so long. You're on WGN.
Hi. My family lost two cousins several years ago, and my Auntie Vern always believed that they came back as deer, and we were at a graduation party for another cousin once, and in the middle of the suburbs, two deer came walking through the backyard in the middle of this party.
And see, you cannot explain that any other way, right?
Right.
It was them.
No. Yeah, nobody had to say anything. We all just knew.
Why was the original indication made that they were deer? Did someone see deer soon after they passed, and that was how the connection got made, or did they love...
Yeah, my Auntie Vern always loved deer. She had, like, little figurines and things like that, and she would see them around her home, but which was more of, you know, a typical setting for deer. It wasn't very out of the ordinary. So that is how she initially felt that they were, you know, visiting her as deer. But this party in the suburbs, you know, where you would never see even a squirrel, and these two deer come walking through, it was just amazing.
I want to know what suburb you don't see squirrels, but that is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I
want
to
move that one. Exactly. No, but Leah, thank you so much for holding on. It really was a great story. We appreciate that. Janine, you've been holding for a long time. Janine, you're on WGN.
Oh, great to talk to you guys, and I hope I make you a believer, John.
Okay, Janine, I'm listening.
Go for it. Make it good.
Okay, well, while I was on hold, I was able to get the year right. It was 1994. My stepmother battled lung cancer, and she was in a coma for about 3 days, and the family all gathered around, and, you know, we were saying our passing, you know, whatever, but she woke up, and she was just so mad that she, you know, came back alive, you know, and she goes, said, I'm over on the other side, and, well, she passed away, you know, later that night, and we were all with her. But what was really interesting, her parents were still alive. She passed away at 59, and her parents were in their 80s, and they had lived in this apartment place for like 30 years. Now, it was either the next day or right before the funeral, when that morning a robin dive bombed into their sliding glass doors on the patio,
three times, and that had never happened before, and they thought that that was like a sign, and we all thought that was a sign of Barb coming back and saying, you know, I'm free, you know, I'm okay. And, you know, no parent wants to bury their child, especially when you're in your 80s. And I was in my 30s at the time. But every time I see a robin, and sometimes they get really close, I just say, hey, Barb, and I'm sorry if I get emotional, but it just seems like it was yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying to make you a believer that just if you open, like Judy said, open your heart, that maybe, you know, an animal, an entity will come in and represent that person, because I can't look at robins the same way. Right. It's Barb.
You know, Janine, I think you bring up a really good point. I hope that I want to get this across. Even though I'm a skeptic about those things, I'm so happy that you find this and you find this comfort. And you made the hairs go up on my arm telling that story. And we really appreciate you opening up, Janine. Judy, you're little. That's a good one.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the epitome of what we've been talking about. And sometimes it is. It's just you need something. It's a time in your life. And that's a lot of times when you do open up, when you're at your weak moments where you don't have all this other stuff, just all this garbage around you, and you can see it. And you know what? It's what you need. And of course, if you believe it, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, guys. Because, you know, when you were telling that dove story, the hair on my arm went up and I dialed you guys and I got right through. So the synchronicity is just amazing right now as far as, because I'm in Springfield, Illinois. And so I'm dialing, you know, you guys up in Chicago, longtime listener, Wallet Phillips and all that jazz. But, you know, I just, you know, you look at the animal and you can't look at it the same way. Again, the lady with the deer, I mean, but dive bomb three times and three
is like
a transitional
number. Of course it was her.
Reality.
Judy?
It was Barb.
I'm on board. So, Janine, we have some good news for you, right, Judy?
Yeah, you know what? Because you did touch us with that story. You get the $100 gift certificate to Lobstergram. And wait, though, listeners, because there are so many stories coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
We have two of them. So you're getting the first one, but we got one more left.
Oh, God,
I sound like I'm on a talk show.
You're doing the game show.
A game show.
All right, Janine, so don't hang up right now, okay? Janine, thank you for calling and opening up. You're going to get some lobster because of sharing.
It's a lobster, not a cardinal.
Right. There's no signals of the lobster.
No.
The lobster doesn't represent anyone, nothing like that. All right, so Janine, stay on the line. Jazz is going to help you out and make sure that you get that information.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Okay, Judy, we got so many calls coming in. Well, let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll get to some more of these calls, and we got some more lobsters to give away, which doesn't signify anything.
You know, I knew you were going to say that because I'm spiritually connected to you now.
Oh, is that now we are? All right. 720 WGN. I got this feeling. Do you have the feeling too? 720 WGN, the legend Judy Pilak, and myself, John. You don't even need to say my last name. John Hansen, the scrub. Here next to this
Come
queen,
on.
Judy.
You know, I call you John Handsome.
Oh, that's so sweet. Tune in the live stream to see if
about
you agree.
All I got, John.
So we've been talking about spirits and spiritual things. By the way, Judy, the prize spirit came and visited us with an addendum, right?
Yes, because we thought we had two lobster grams, but we only had one to give away. But the next one we're going to give away, the next thing we're going to give away is a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, and that is like...
Lobstergram's great.
Lobster pizza, it's right. All the same, really.
I'd start making up stories to try and get pizza.
So we're going to pick one more person who wows us with their story.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I feel like my guardian angel is breathing down my neck.
Really?
Kind of.
Who is? Do you know who yours is?
No.
Okay.
No.
We got
someone fabulous, though.
For sure. We had a text. This one sort of made my hairs on my arms raise a little bit. The texter says, my mom hated yellow, and we teased her. We were going to have an all yellow flowers at her funeral someday. And she passed last February, and this texter meant to get one single yellow rose in a vase to put at the corner of the funeral, which would be sweet, kind of an homage to the joke they always play with her. But this texter says that they forgot to get the yellow rose. On the way home from the florist, when I pulled into the driveway, there was a single yellow flower in the yard. And we lived down the street from the cemetery, and she was sure that it blew from there. So not growing, a yellow flower had blown into her yard. She knows that Mom sent it. I see signs from her often, cardinals, butterflies, and her smell.
Aww,
wasn't that really sweet?
That is sweet.
Ugh, we've had so many good texts and interesting things. We've got, I now live in what was my grandparents' home. This is from the 708. We did a large remodel and an addition in 2010. And when we moved back in, I had a dream that I was still in the unfinished basement. So before it was redone, there was a radio hanging from the ceiling. And my grandmother's voice coming out of it said she liked what we did to the house.
What?
Wow.
And right. By the way, another texter says, cardinals are said to be the spirit of our departed loved ones,
okay.
So, which is why there are so many cardinal stories.
So that's why my mom always is like, there's grandma.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Makes sense. Let's go to Marilyn. Marilyn, you've been holding for a little bit here on 720 WGN. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm a Chicagoan, but I flew to Denver to be with my family yesterday. And I you know, miss you because I listen to you all the time. So I had my phone on and listening to you on the station.
That is dedication.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you.
I love WGN. Anyway, my husband passed away about 10 years ago, and he had a long illness, and we knew, you know, that his time was short. And we were talking one day, and I said, you know, if you ever give me flowers, don't ever send me red roses. I don't like them. Send me yellow ones. So that was that. And then another time just before he passed, one of the neighbors came over to see him. And we were talking and, you know, we were kind of joking, you know, we're talk about, you know, what was going to happen openly. And I said to him, I said, well, when you get up there, you better send me a sign so I know that you got there okay. And we all laughed about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, I will. So anyway, we had this hibiscus tree, and we had it for years, and we'd bring it in the summer, in the winter, and then in the summer we'd put it out. So I had put my hibiscus tree out on this area right at the end of the driveway, and it had huge red flowers on it. Well, our neighborhood was having a garage sale, and my best friend was over. It was like 2 weeks after he passed away, and my neighbor came over, and she was helping me, and we were outside talking, and all of a sudden, my friend turned around and said, look at your hibiscus tree, and we went over there, and on that hibiscus tree was a huge yellow hibiscus.
What?
Was my husband's favorite tree. He really babied it and everything. It never bloomed yellow again. I have pictures of it and everything.
What was that moment like to you? Did you really feel like that was him giving you a sign?
Oh, yeah. My girlfriend looked at me and she said, you wanted a sign? Here's your sign. He got there okay.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, I tell people that story and the hairs on their arms just, I know. I never believed in this before, but I absolutely know beyond a doubt that that was my husband sending me a message.
Well, Marilyn, not only is that so sweet, the hairs on my arm went up too, but how amazing you tell the story about the yellow flower, and we just had a text we read about a yellow flower.
Right, blowing into a yard. Isn't that something?
No, it's not. It's all connected.
Judy, you're starting. Yeah. I'm starting to get there, Marilyn. I'd say that story.
Absolutely.
Judy, come on. Yeah.
You get the Lumel Nottis gift certificate, of course.
Oh,
and if it comes
so
in
much.
A yellow, if you get this in a yellow envelope, let us know.
Oh, my God. Yes. Marilyn, you better be calling. I don't care which state you're in.
I hope you wear yellow.
You could be in Japan.
Yeah.
You better be calling us to let us know. Marilyn, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. Stay on the line because. Yeah, no, of course. Jazz is going to get your information here, so stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, you're on 720 WGN.
Back in 1969, I was on an LZ in Vietnam. I woke up from a dream, and it had been my grandmother talking to me, telling me she loved me, but she wouldn't see me for Christmas. Later that day, I got a message through MACV that she had died.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That day.
There's no other way to explain that.
Oh.
She reached out to you, didn't she?
I believe.
Wow. Dennis, that's a part. What did that make you feel like when you, obviously you're saddened, of course, to hear about your grandmother. Did you feel like that was a message in that night before directly from her?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Dennis, thank you so much.
About it.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Dennis, thank you for the phone call. That made me. All these stories are just making. They're
right?
Really incredible.
And because they're all. It's all good. It's there. These aren't scary stories. They're not. You know, this isn't a horror movie. No, these are stories of inspiration and, you know, spirituality. It's all a good thing. Always,
mm-hmm.
John.
Don't say it's so accusatorial.
My spiritual partner on the radio.
I'm going from skeptic to believer. Let's go to Mary. Mary, you have a story to tell us about when your mother passed.
Yes, about a year after my mom passed, we were in Michigan at Cottages, and we all went golfing. And my mom used to go there with us, too. And a monarch butterfly came and landed on my hand and then landed on my head. And I said, "Mom, is that you?" I said, "My other brothers and sisters are in the next hole. Can you go see them?" And she did.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, I hear a lot of butterfly stories.
So the butterfly went to the next hole?
Into their hands. Yeah, I mean, we were like a whole different fairway, you know?
Why did you think it was your mom to begin with?
I just had a feeling, right? Yeah, because we all wondered, you know, is everything okay? You know, she was a good mom. We certainly thought that everything would be good and she'd be up there. And it just... I mean, my husband has a picture of me with a monarch butterfly on my head, and we had golfed at that golf course many, many times. Never had this happen, so it's not like some particular monarch likes to land up.
It's not like you had a bad shot and you were off in the woods trying to find the ball, and
Our group was on the green, and she just came right in, landed on my hand.
Mary, thank you so much for the phone call. This is so inspiring, Judy.
Yeah, it's making you a believer, I think, John.
It is, and the text line and the phone lines are blowing up. 312-981-7200. We got to take a break and then go to news. But, Judy, I think we should keep on rolling with some of these stories. They are absolutely
incredible. Yeah, they are. Why not? Right, it's the season of spirituality.
Sure is. 720 WGN. WGN, Bill and Wendy out today. Wendy's still recovering from her knee replacement, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I heard her on the show last week. It was so nice to hear from her.
I know, right? I miss her voice.
I know. I love that, Wendy. I also love Judy Pilek filling in for Wendy. I guess I'm for Bill, technically, right?
Yeah,
if we're
going to
play the
Bill
gender roles,
and
right?
Then John in his place.
We're having a great time talking about spirituality and how people visit us or people think that their loved ones visit them in the past or spirit, guardian angels, stuff like that. I'm a former skeptic. You know, here's the thing, Judy.
Did I hear that right? You're a former?
Well, in the moment, I feel these stories.
Right.
And then when I have a moment to go, okay, I got to get to the news, I got to do all these other things, I say, you know what? The science part of my brain, which, again, I'm not a science person, but I just want to believe logic and science and feel like butterflies are...
you're overthinking it. Okay. It's not about... You can still have logic and be a scientist and have that part. And if you don't want to believe, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to you is... Why not believe and feel better?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to lose? Absolutely nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like you don't want to take that step, and that's what happens with a lot of people. Because they feel like they're going to give up their logic. No,
you can do both.
But yeah, why is it so hard to believe? Look at all these stories from our listeners. It's ridiculous. We can't even get through all of them.
Yeah.
And you're reading them with me on the text line, and I could see it in your face, and you have that feeling. So if you don't want to be a believer, okay, fine. I'm going to be a believer, and I'm going to be a happier person.
And you know what? Maybe I will, through age, come to become more of a believer. And when I read these stories, they make me happy because, first of all, they're really cool stories. Second of all, it makes me happy for them that they believe it. Like, so I'm not someone that is poo-pooing the idea of it. It's just I can't get my own brain to quite go there yet.
Well, it hasn't happened to you yet.
That's true.
You haven't seen it. It has happened to you a million times.
Okay.
You haven't seen it and accepted it. And it's not, I mean, it sounds so like, accepted. And no, it's just, believe me, I am a very logical person.
Right.
And I am like kind of, you know, I've been described as a tough babe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Instead of that other word. It's not like I'm a softie, really, but I've opened my eyes. I've seen it. And I want to believe it.
You want to believe it?
I want to believe it. It's happening.
224 texted in, when I was a student in Rome, Italy, I was waiting for a bus near the Vatican, which is a pretty spiritual place, I imagine. There was a crowd of people in my way when the bus pulled up. So this person stepped off the curb to go around the crowd of people. And suddenly this person felt someone gently push them back onto the curb. When they looked up, they saw the bus was coming right at that person from the other side. I would have surely been hit if the bystander had not helped me onto the curb. I turned around to thank the person, and there was nobody there. I've always felt that it must have been one of the spirits that dwell near the Vatican.
Or that was his guardian angel.
Right.
Or her guardian angel.
We had another one text, and I don't even know if I can.
I think they live at the Vatican, all the angels.
You think they all live there? And would they commute? That's a long... How fast can they fly? The one we had earlier, I'll try and find this a little bit.
And you know, angels know no religion, really. They're all religions.
And that was more, that was like the, spiritual guardian, not someone that had passed. We had the story, I'll try and find it, the one about their son had been stabbed. And the son said that, had been stabbed at a record store. And the son said that someone that had been dressed all in black came and stood next to him until the ambulance arrived.
Right, and told him it was going to be all right, everything was going to be fine.
And it was.
It was fine, but he went to thank the man. He wasn't there.
Oh, that's,
again, that's he crazy. Was an angel.
Right. Let's go to Pat here on 720 WGN. Pat, you're on the air.
Hi. Mine's a little bit different. I says, when my husband died, he died in February of 15. You know, I says to him, Dan, I says, don't give me a bird or a butterfly. You know, I'm not very observant. You got to really hit me in the head.
Get a hammer.
Right, right.
Said, so, okay. He had died in this one room, and the only thing I have in that room now is my computer desk, and I have a radio on top of the desk, and it's set to WGN, and that's the only thing I do. I turn the radio on and off. Well, one night I'm sleeping, and about 2:30 in the morning, what the heck, the radio goes on. So I go, and I said, I must have dusted, turned something or whatever. So I turn it off. I go back to bed. 15 minutes later, the radio goes back on. I said, what the heck? Well, after the third time, I says, enough is enough. I pulled the plug, and as I would walk back into the room, it would shut down. So I pulled the plug out, went back to bed, it went back on. I says, then that must be you, and that was it. So the next night, about 2:30 in the morning, the TV in that room went on. So, okay, that was it. So the following May, I went to Cuba, and we went to this one cemetery, and they had a statue of this woman. I can't remember exactly the story, and she was holding a baby, but supposedly she would grant wishes.
Okay.
So you had to walk in and knock three times with the brass ring, walk in, touch the baby, and make a wish. And I would always, even in church, I'd say, wish for the health and happiness of my boys and, you know, and hope that you hear me, Dan, and you walked out backwards. So that was it. So I come home and go to bed, and that morning, 2:30 in the morning, the TV in my bedroom goes on. So, okay, that was that one. So then our anniversary was October
30th. Boy, you're pretty hard to convince, because I'm convinced at this point of your story. My goodness.
And I said, so October 30th, it was our anniversary this year, and I was gone all weekend, and I come home, and in our family room, I go to put his TV on. I said, darn, the darn TV don't work, you know, it won't even go on. And so I call my kids, and he's going to buy me a new TV and all that. So I go, and they said, are you sure it's, I said, yeah, why would I unplug it? I shouldn't even go back there. I says, should probably dust more often. You know? The next day I go, look, the TV is unplugged.
This is so weird.
I says, it was at radio three times, you know, I said, and it's all it's set to.
Your husband like Steve and Johnny a lot and Nick DiGilio or something and just was trying to get you to listen? It's great programming through the overnight.
But I said, and it's always about 2:30 in the morning TV or radio would go on. But that was a time three times, and I had told our priest about it. And he says, that was probably him. You
what
know?
Was Don, did he off, was 2:30, did he get up at 2:30 in the morning sometimes? Did he always?
Oh, God, no. Did he have to wake him up to get him up any time?
Okay. All right, Pat, thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it, Pat.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no problem. So the TV keeps on going. You need to see an electrician. See, that's what my mind says.
Yeah, it's a
lost circuit. Right. It's a circuit somewhere. Right. A couple times.
Three times. And she unplugs it and it still goes on.
Yeah, the plug-in I would move out of that house, in my personal opinion. Let's go to Patrice. Patrice, you have a story about your aunt, right?
I sure do. Hi. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas.
Thanks for listening.
I love you. I love you. Anyway, I had an aunt who passed away early 70s. And in the early 90s, I was in the ICU, and one night, I was awake. I was totally awake, and I heard how the nurses make that screechy noise on the floor? Anyway.
With their rubber-soled shoes, you mean?
Right, right. Well, my aunt was of the generation of nurses where they wore the starched caps and their little pins on the caps.
That's when nurses were nurses.
Right, white stockings and everything. And my nurse had these wire-rimmed glasses, and she was blonde. And so you could see her hair and everything. So I knew it was Aunt Bernadine. So she comes around, stands at the foot of the bed, and then she starts tucking my bed sheets in, at, like you tuck in a little kid, you know, at the bed.
Uh-huh.
So it was so wonderful, and I felt so, you could feel it. John, you can feel it in your heart when something like this happens.
You know
that she was there. And then all of a sudden, she didn't say a word. She just walked out of the room. And it was such a wonderful feeling that she, you know, and that was the last time I saw her. She hasn't appeared again.
Oh, Patrice.
And then,
oh, go ahead.
And wait, one more real quick one. My mother passed away a year last June. So I'm in bed, and it's in the middle of the night. And I feel the end of the bed being pushed down. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and that's all it was.
You didn't run out screaming?
No, I didn't, because I knew it was my mother. Because
you knew.
But then I thought, what if it isn't Mom? So I said, okay, go away, leave me alone, don't come back. I didn't know what else to do, because I thought, oh, dear God, I know it's not the dog. She's in the crate. So, you know, it's...
Yeah.
You just know.
Well, Patrice, thank you so much for sharing those stories here on 720 WGN and for always listening. And God, I can hear the comfort in the voice.
I know. And now, you know, I told you off the air, John, I lived in a really old house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure there were a lot of spirits flying around or being mm-hmm. around or being whatever they do, doing whatever
lounging
they do.
Around.
Lounging around. And I always, even buying that house the first day, I just felt that. And even when my kids were little, they would always just say odd things. You know, Mom, is that you? Yes, it's me. Even though I'm hearing the murmurings too. But I always felt safe in that house. And I feel, they have to coexist with us. They have to be right there. There's a really thin wall right here.
And spirits get a bad rap with all the movies and all the things.
Yes, which by the way, I love those movies and those books. I'm a big Stephen King fan. But yes, you know.
And you feel comfortable with that.
Yes, because if I didn't, believe me, I wouldn't have stayed in that house,
right.
But I just always felt that it was okay, and it was nothing bad ever happened.
Right.
Yeah, maybe they were looking over us.
All right, so I stuck my toe in. It's going a little bit deeper.
Mm.
We'll see if we can get all the way here on 720 WGN. Quick break. More Judy and John after this. WGN spirits all around us. Many of you believe that. See, I honestly think I'm in the minority of people that. Again, it's not that. I don't believe.
You know what? I think that deep down you believe.
There are, maybe that's what it is, and maybe it's a matter of I just need to kind of see it for myself.
I mean, if you can't explain it,
right,
okay, then
right.
Believe.
And some people are saying, "Oh, come on, John, why don't you just believe?" And I'm like, I get it. And I'm all about you all believing. And like we hear these calls, and you can hear that people, I mean, they believe, these are not people making things up. These are people that really believe what they're saying. And you can just tell it gives them comfort. We had a text 815 when my son was two. This was back in 1994. We were tucking him in for bed. He said, it was nice to see Grandpa today, or Gramps. I said, do you mean Dad, Papa, my wife's dad? He said, no, Gramps. Gramps was actually the texter's dad who had died 9 years before the kid was born. I asked where he saw him. He said, I saw him at church. I said, where at the church? He says, he was in the corner working with Jesus, the eyes of a child. Wow.
Children are so receptive to that.
Right. We've gotten some photos, too. We got the butterfly photo, which creeped me out, because that woman told that incredible story on the golf course. And, of course, I believed her, but when you see the text, there was a monarch butterfly on her
head.
Yeah, there's
and
no
joke. And you
know
what? But what we both said, agreed with, oh, my gosh, she looks so happy.
Happy.
Her face, she's so happy, and that butterfly is right on top of her head.
Right. My husband passed away 16 months ago, says the 847. We were so in love and married 34 years. He leaves me white feathers mostly every day. So she sent us a picture of a collection of white feathers, and this is she collected them once she realized what was happening. Love him and miss him so much, especially at Christmas. He was my heart.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. Spirits like to leave things for people who believe.
Mm-hmm.
John, don't expect anything.
You are throwing me under the bus. I know. I'm going to start opening my ears a little
bit.
Yeah,
you know what? Just look around.
Yeah.
You can still have your logic and not believe, but look around and then come back to me in about, you know, a month and let me know what's been going on.
Well, you know Jennifer Weigel. She's
mm-hmm.
done some stuff here. And
she's a believer.
She's a huge believer. And she takes photos everywhere because she sees hearts a lot. I forget the exact background about it, but Jennifer sees hearts and she often posts
these photos. Maybe something to do with her dad.
Yeah, maybe. And she posts photos all the time of where these hearts show up. And again,
and you're right. Maybe they're always there, but right. She never saw them before. And now she sees them, and it means something.
So, in fact, the idea of even being awoken to them is a spirit in and of itself, to allow yourself to let that happen. Man,
you want to be happy, damn it. Open your eyes, John.
I am happy. If I want to be happier, fine. Sure. Okay. Let's go to Debbie on the phone line. Debbie, you've been holding for a while. You're on 720 WGN.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Debbie?
Good. I just wanted to share, I lost my husband about 37 and a half years ago, and I was at my mom's house the day of the funeral, laying in bed, listening to the radio, and the radio went off, and it was one of those old-time radios where you had to actually shut it off or unplug it. It went off, and a bright light came into the bedroom, and up in the corner of that light, there was a big cloud, and my husband's face showed up, and he was extremely happy. He was killed on his motorcycle, and I never got to see him until the funeral, and that was the smile that I saw the last time he rolled off.
What a great thing to remember, right? Forever, that
Debbie,
smile.
Thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. Oh, God, that makes me so sad. Sad and happy and, well, happy. That's the last thing that she's...
It's life, you know? It's just life goes on and and signs go on.
Yeah. We got a lot of texters saying that some of these stories are moving then. Love these stories. The story of the hibiscus flower turning yellow for one bloom and one bloom only moving people. So
yeah. Explain that to me, Mr. Electric.
No, I can't explain it. Well, I can try and talk about some sort of the crossing, the patterns and the chromosomes of the tree, and there happened to be one.
In the Christmas spirit, miracles happen every day.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing is that we've talked about a couple guardian angel situations where there's people out there that are helpers. And we often have to, I think it was Mr. Rogers who said, open your eyes and look for the helpers, because we're so used in this society to look at all the downside of things, look at the political situations.
And you know what? Don't forget, you could be a guardian angel too.
Yeah.
I love when I can be a guardian angel. When the opportunity presents itself, oh my gosh, there's not a better feeling in the world than helping someone else.
Right.
There just isn't.
And that's why, we, not to inflate what we get to do, but that's why when we do get these chances to, bring it on Deborah's place so that our listeners can hear something like that, and hopefully that helps a little way. I wanted to wrap up with Shelley. Shelley, you're on WGN. I hear you have a story, you're a butterfly story, right?
I have another butterfly story, yes. My sister lost her husband in the North Tower on 9/11. And about 5 years later, her daughter was married in Virginia. And after her husband's death, she received a sympathy card that was very meaningful to her, and it was about the butterfly and how they have the chrysalis and then they come back to life and fly away. Well, at the wedding reception, my niece was dancing the first dance with her husband, and a butterfly, witnessed by all these guests, landed on the train of her gown.
Whoa.
Was it outside?
No, it was in a tent. It was attached to an old home outside of Alexandria, Virginia. It was a beautiful venue. And it was inside this tent, and it landed on the train, and she danced the dance. It flew away and sort of landed over on the windowsill, and my sister was so touched, but she went over and took it and put it outside. Well, when we told the bride what happened, she was so aflutter, so to speak, and told the wedding planner what had happened and the significance of the butterfly. So this story began to spread throughout the people that put the reception on, and it got down to the kitchen where the cook said, you know, there's been a butterfly here all day. We couldn't get rid of him.
Wow.
Isn't that just amazing? And it wasn't just one person's story.
Right.
I mean, everybody saw it.
Wow.
And it still gives me goosebumps.
Well,
puts a smile on your face.
There and danced with his daughter.
Shelley, that is like the perfect story to wrap up this segment. Shelley, thank you so much for calling and sharing that.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
If you don't believe now, you're just a monster.
I am not a monster. I am almost in tears here.
I know you are.
Ugh, okay.
I'm watching your face, and
yeah, that
it's
was
okay. You can keep it to yourself, but you believe.
All right. I believe in Santa still, of course.
Well, we duh, because Santa's real.
All right, we're going to wrap things up before we move to the stream next on 720 WGN. And we're going to the stream, which I don't even know where that is. Judy, do you know where we're going?
Yes. Okay. You know what? It's another realm, yeah. So we're going to the stream.
The stream is above us, which gets really messy later in the program.
Have a good show.